بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I had tweeted something concerning coronavirus, and somebody, I don't know the guy, but somebody in Hindi script, Devanagari script, which of course I read, he wrote there, मृत्यु से कोई नहीं बच सकता, विच मीन्स नोबडी कैन एस्केप डेथ. नाउ दिस रिफर्स टू द कोरोना वायरस एंड इट रिफर्स टू प्रिकॉशंस दैट वी आर बीइंग आस्क्ड टू टेक, विच इज सोशल डिस्टेंसिंग एंड वॉशिंग आवर हैंड्स एंड एंश्योरिंग दैट वी यूज सैनिटाइजर, हैंड सैनिटाइजर, स्टेइंग अवे फ्रॉम क्राउडेड प्लेसेस. It has got to the point where, with deep regret, we have to announce the closing of Masajid, the suspension of Jummah until further notice, and Wallahu Alam, we don't know, but it may result also in the suspension of Taraweeh Salawat in Ramadan. All of which are things that are unprecedented. We have, at least I have never seen this in my lifetime, and I doubt whether who else saw this in their lifetime, of Taraweeh not being prayed, of Jummah not being prayed. And obviously everyone is upset. I don't think there is a single living, walking, talking Muslim who is not upset about the fact that Jummah has been suspended. Even those who may not even go to Jummah regularly, which they should do because Jummah is fard, and leaving Jummah without a shari'i excuse is haram. Yet there are many people who don't go for Jummah, but even they, if you ask them and if you tell them that look, Jummah has been suspended, Jummah is not being prayed, I don't think there's anybody who will be happy about that. So everybody will be, is and will be upset. And so obviously, you know, these are unprecedented things. Now question is, should we take precautions? This person says, you cannot escape death. This is also our aqidah. There is no doubt about this fact that as Muslims we believe that life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided will come to pass. Nobody can change that. Nobody can bring it forward or postpone it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the time for death comes, it cannot be postponed and it cannot be brought forward. You can't die before your time and you cannot live after your time. Whether it is coronavirus, whether it is a bus, whether it is, falling down a flight of stairs, whatever be the means by which death comes to you, some of it may be violent, some of it may Allah protect us from that, some of these may be perfectly benign in the sense that you wake up one morning to find that you are dead. The point is that this is going to happen. One day this is going to happen, and the whole focus of our religion is to prepare for that day. So the first and foremost thing that I want to clarify for all of you, and I want you to think about that, is that when we are talking about taking precautions for coronavirus, the last thing in the mind is about escaping death. We are not trying to escape death. We know we cannot escape death. We actually welcome the time of death. We welcome death in a positive manner because death is the time when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Sometimes we say colloquially, oh my God, you know, I'm dying to meet you. Well, in this life, if you die, you can't meet them. But when you say, I'm dying to meet you, this would be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're dying to meet Allah and you will die and you will meet Allah. So therefore, alhamdulillah, it is not something that we fear. It is not something that we are trying to run away from. It's not something that we are trying to escape. So then why take precautions? Precautions are to protect us, protect ourselves, and to protect others from the illness. Whether that illness leads to death or not, we don't know. So the first thing to understand is we are not trying to escape death. We are trying to take precautions to prevent yourself from becoming ill and take precautions so that by your actions, you don't make somebody else ill. So when we wash our hands, we are washing our hands for ourselves as well as for others. And that is why I was saying to I remember seeing on Twitter or somewhere where somebody says that if you buy all the hand sanitizers in the shop, you forget the fact that for you to remain healthy, other people also need to sanitize their hands. Other people also need to wash their hands. So if you're going to buy all the soap and if you're going to buy all the hand sanitizers and nobody else has them, then all of those people are infected, and one way or the other you will get infected. So the whole point of prevention, the whole point of taking precautions is to save yourself and others from the illness. As I said, whether this illness leads to death or not, we don't know. Number one. Number two, even though the figures look horrendous, but let's also understand that we are still looking at figures in their thousands. We are saying 1,200 people died, 1,600 people died, 3,000 people died. Out of how many in that country? So we are looking at figures of 1%, maybe 2%, maybe or less than that of mortality, which means that 99% of the people, 98% of the people who get the disease are actually surviving, right? So it is not a matter, it's not a death sentence getting the coronavirus. Even if you, may Allah protect all of you, but even if you do get infected, it's not a death sentence. There's no certainty that you will die. You will go through the misery of it, and then inshallah you will be cured, and then you will be immune to that virus. You can't get it again. So alhamdulillah, this is also, not only is that a possibility, but that's a much, 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 much higher possibility that you will get infected, but you will survive and you will beat the disease and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you. This is a far higher possibility than the fact that you will get infected and you will die as a result of the infection. So the prevention is for us to protect ourselves and to protect others from the infection. As I said, whether you live or die as a result of the infection is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. We ask Allah for the best. We ask Allah to prevent us, protect us from the infection itself. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those who have been infected, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should decree that they are cured, that they don't die as a result of this disease. So therefore, please don't fall into this trap. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the two major and important hadiths. One, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you are in a place which has an epidemic, he said, do not leave the place. He said to us, don't travel, don't take that epidemic to some other place which where people are healthy. So stay where you are until everything is over, until the epidemic is gone. You stay wherever you are if you are already in a place where an epidemic breaks out. And he said, if you are not in that place, don't travel to that place. For whatever reason, don't go to that place. If you know that there is an epidemic happening in some place, don't go there saying that, you know, I have business, this, that, I may escape it. He said, no, don't travel there. So that's one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another one, of course, is the famous one where a man came to him, he said, I have left my camel outside. Should I just trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or should I also tie the camel and then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tie the camel and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So this is the second hadith and the second reason why we need to take precautions, because this is in the nature of tying the camel. We are not taking precautions because we have no faith in Allah. We are taking precautions because we have been ordered to do that by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this order comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take precautions because this is the hukum for us. Take precautions and continue to trust in Allah, because whether the precaution works or not is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take the precaution is in our hands, and we are responsible for doing that. So we must take the precautions. But having taken the precaution, we don't say, I am free from Allah, na'udh billah. The precaution will work only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that for you. And therefore, we take the precaution and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that precaution effective. So this is the this is an important thing that I thought, since I saw this remark, I thought that maybe there are, you know, more people with this fatalistic mindset. Please understand, our understanding of Qadr, our understanding of fate and decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam is different from that of others. So there are some people who believe there is no fate. They think that everything is in my control, I can do whatever I like, which is obviously logically incorrect and quite easily seen. The other one is where people feel that they are completely bound. Even in among the Muslims, there was a group called the Qadariya, who are people who are fatalistic, and they think everything is written, and I have nothing in my control, and everything is written, so I need not do anything. Whatever is going to happen, will happen, may happen, and that is also false as far as Islam is concerned. Our understanding of Qadr is that we have limited choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the choice to do certain things. The result of that choice is not in our control. We have been told what the result of the choice is, right? So, for example, if I have diabetes, I still have the choice of what I want to eat, but different foods will have different effects on my body. Some of them will be beneficial and some of them will be harmful. I can, for example, eat 12 gulab jamuns at one sitting, even though if I have diabetes, I can still sit and eat 12 gulab jamuns, and I can drink up the sugar syrup after that if I want. There is nothing to prevent me from doing that. But once I do that, what that sugar will do inside me is not in my control. That is written. So therefore, if I do that and then I say, well, you know, I died because this was written for me. No, it was written for you. But what was not written for you was that you should drink this sugar syrup and eat 12 gulab jamuns at one sitting. That is what you decided to do. So, for example, another example I usually give, I say that if you go out of your gate, imagine that if you go out of your gate and if you turn right, it takes you into the countryside, and you are driving through beautiful fields and forests. And if you go out of your gate and you take a left turn, it takes you into the into downtown, it takes you into the city. So you are driving through streets which are lined with multi-storied tall buildings. Now, if you take a right, if you take a left turn, and you end up in the city, and you say, well, you know, I actually wanted to go into the countryside. What must you do? You take a U-turn, you make a U-turn, and you go back the way you came and go past your gate, and you will be in the countryside. Now, the taking the left turn or the right turn is the limited choice that we have in this life. The buildings and the countryside is the Qadr. That is what is written for us. If you take the right turn, it takes me into the countryside. If I take a left turn, it takes me into the city center. That city center and the countryside is not in my control. That's already written. It's there. What is in my control is to take a left turn or a right turn. This is in my control, and I'm responsible for that. If I'm diabetic, to eat sugar or not is in my control, and I'm responsible for that. After knowing that I'm diabetic, if I still insist on eating sugar, and if I eat large quantities of sugar, and as a result of that, if I die, Wallahu alam, and may Allah protect us from ourselves, I could be considered as having committed suicide before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the knowledge to know what happens. If I am diabetic and I am going to eat large amounts of sugar, then I am going to die. I know this, yet I still do that, then this is a responsibility on me. So that's the reason why I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, please take precautions to prevent coronavirus from infecting you, and for you to become vectors to take coronavirus to other people. Please don't do that. take all precautions, stay away from crowded places, maintain social distance, stay a distance of 6 feet from anyone that you're talking to. Don't go up and speak to them in their face. Wash your hands frequently, use hand sanitizer, stay away from all public places, all congregations, shopping malls, cinema theaters, restaurants, and all those places. Stay away from that. Schools and colleges anyway have been closed. So stay away from all of those places. And if you see any symptoms whatsoever that you might be feeling, then immediately self-quarantine yourself and then seek medical advice as appropriate. But please take precautions. Don't fall into this trap of saying, well, if I have to die, I have to die. Yes, you that death is not the issue here. The issue here is to protect ourselves from getting the disease and to ensure that we don't become the reason for someone else to get it. As I said, whether we die or not by the disease is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to take precautions so that we don't get the disease, or we at least protect ourselves from the possibility of getting the disease, this is in our control and we are responsible and we will be held accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.